Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. At the bedrock of the law of God is the prohibition against taking innocent life. Yet hundreds of people are killed every year in each of our major cities. Life is cheap and gets cheaper when convicted killers never pay the price God commanded. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. On today's broadcast, Dr. Lutzer continues his series on the Ten Commandments as he brings part two of a message on the value of life. We're about to find out how seriously God views this broken fifth commandment.
Do you know what God thinks about murder? God says that murder is so serious, it is such a violation of the fact that we are created in the image of God, that the text says in chapter 21, verse 12, "He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death." Now, there are some people who say this. You've heard the arguments on television and in the newspapers. They say, "We so value human life that we believe that nobody has the right to take the life of somebody else, even if he is a convicted killer who is a serial murderer who has killed 30 different people. We should never exercise capital punishment because human life is so sacred." That's the way the argument goes. Very interestingly, God would say, "No, your opinion is still too low. Human life is even more sacred than that. Human life is so sacred that if somebody takes the life of another to display the sacredness of human life, you have to take their own life." That's what God says. In fact, if you're unconvinced, look at what he says in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. This is the whole argument for capital punishment. It's because human life is so sacred, God says that the person who takes it, the only proper retribution is for his own life to be taken. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed." Why? Because man isn't very sacred? He is of little value? No. "For in the image of God he made man." Interesting. God says you take somebody's life, the only proper way to deal with that is to have your life taken. The only argument against capital punishment that I can possibly think of is the possibility that exists that you're executing the wrong person. But in those cases where there is no reasonable doubt, there is the responsibility of the state, because the Bible says that if you don't do it, the land will be polluted with blood. And I'm not blaming our judges and our criminal system. I shouldn't say just judges alone, but the whole criminal system, unfortunately, suffers in America today. I think that what they ought to do, if someone commits a murder and he's let go on the street and commits another five, that he should be guilty of the first one, and then the criminal justice system should be guilty for the other ones. But then again, I'll get some other letters, so I'd better hurry on. Now, in the book of Numbers, the Bible says very clearly that even though there may be a ransom for some capital crimes in the Old Testament, such as adultery and others, that there can be no ransom given if you're guilty of murder. If you're taking notes, it's Numbers chapter 35, verse 31. Numbers 35, 31, we won't turn to it, but God says this. He says, if somebody takes another person's life, you cannot accept a ransom. There can be no exceptions unless it was unintentional, in which case it is manslaughter. If it is deliberate, then you must take that person's life. Why? Because God says human life is important. That's what is called murder by the hand. And the result is the death penalty. But there's a second way that this commandment can be broken. Murder by the heart. Murder by the heart. Turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. 1 John, don't confuse it with the Gospel of John. 1 John is almost just a few pages, actually, away from the book of Revelation. That's the easiest way to find it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. He makes a startling statement that Jesus actually also made on the Sermon on the Mount. He says in 1 John 3, 15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Let me read that again. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Does this mean that a Christian cannot hate another? Some people interpret it that way, but it's contrary to fact, isn't it? You've met Christians, I've met Christians that hate each other. But he is talking about brothers here, so he must be speaking about Christians, and he knows that Christians can hate one another because he says hates his brother. So I think the phrase eternal life abiding in him doesn't mean that he doesn't have eternal life. It means that the eternal life is not being expressed in him. The whole emphasis on John is on fellowship. It is on abiding in Christ. And he's saying that if you say that eternal life is abiding in you, that it is being lived out in your life, that there is fruit of eternal life, and you hate your brother, you are a liar, the text says, because no eternal life can be expressed, can be lived out in the life of someone who hates his brother. But what a strong statement. Why is it that some people hate one another? First of all, because there are some people who are in the way of others. And so hatred and animosity develops. For example, you'll recall the case of Herod. Jesus is born in Bethlehem, and Herod, when he sees that a delegation is going to Bethlehem to find out about this person that's being born, he says, "Tell me about it when you find out the information, and send me word that I may go and worship him also." What a liar. But why was it that Herod hated Jesus? It's because Jesus was a threat to him. Jesus was being born as the king of the Jews, and Herod thought that he might be without a job. Jesus might make Herod look bad. And that's why Herod hated Christ and intended to kill him, and in his heart was a murderer, even though he didn't pull it off. You know, those of you who are in business know that out there in the world, it's dog eat dog. There are all kinds of people there who want to make you look bad and make themselves look good so that they can step on you to get a promotion. And they'll do everything that they possibly can to do you in. Oh, it's easy to hate people like that. Resentment begins to build up and you begin to say, "If I could kill them, I would." Watch it. Everyone who hates is a murderer. Even if you hate your brother, you're a murderer, not to mention the people that are in the world. There's another reason, not only because there are people who get in our way, but also because perhaps we've met people that have hurt us. They've hurt us. And so we want to retaliate. There's something within us that says we want to even the score. We want to make sure that this person will not get away scot-free. And so if you had a mother that rejected you and a father who beat you up, if you have a spouse that has done you in, that has lied to you, that has betrayed you, there again the resentments and the hurts grow. And that's why most murders that take place here in the city of Chicago, they are family affairs. Usually it's some relative, some resentment. Somebody who received an inheritance, and there's somebody else that wants to chisel you out of what's coming to you. And the resentment and the anger and the court cases and all these things begin to develop. And you just can't see how people can be so unreasonable. And there's something within you that says, "I will do them in no matter what it costs." And so you have a situation of some relatives that are related to someone whom I know, where a man was so angry at his wife who had taken the kids from him that he shot her and shot all the children in the car and then turned the gun on himself and committed suicide. What he was saying is, "I am so full of resentment and hatred that I will kill you to make sure that you are rubbed out, even if I end up doing it to myself afterwards." But the text says, again, if you hate, you're a murderer. You know, the Christian doesn't have to hate. You know why? Because he's got somebody else to take care of his injustices. That's what it says in Romans chapter 12. Someday I'm going to preach a message on how to respond when you're under attack. And the text will be that 12th chapter of Romans. We don't have time to turn to it because we have only a certain amount of time today. But there in that passage, Paul says, "Do not avenge yourselves." He says, "Never pay back evil for evil. If possible, live peaceably. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. That's in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, if you're trying to find it. Notice, never take your own revenge, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will recompense, says the Lord. God says, I will fight your case. I'm going to be the one who's going to settle the score. Follow this carefully. God wants faith in our lives, right? The Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please God. When you harbor bitterness in your life and you want to even the score, it is an indication of a lack of faith. You are not trusting the judge of all the earth to do right and to settle the matter. You're taking it into your hands. And that's lack of faith. There's something within us that says, yeah, but I want to make sure that he's not going to get off scot-free, and I'm going to do it for God. Well, the text says, leave room for the wrath of God. Why don't you trust God to do it? Don't think that every score is going to be settled on this earth. There have been people who have given their lives trying to settle scores to make sure that before they died, it would be evened. And they're still not sure whether or not it is. The text says, leave room for the wrath of God. Vengeance is mine. I'm going to straighten it out. You say, yeah, but what if this person confesses his sin before he dies and goes to heaven and then still is scot-free? You know, some of you are laughing, but I know someone who said that to me. When I pointed this text out to them, they said, yeah, but you know, my father, whom they hated very much, this girl did, and she had some reason to hate him, humanly speaking. When I told her that she had to get rid of all of that hatred and explain to her how to release those feelings so that she could be free, her response was, yeah, but you know what? My dad's a Christian, and so he's going to go to heaven, and he's going to live there in bliss. She said, I'd like to see him burn in hell. You think somebody can hate that deeply? You'd better believe that there are people who hate that deeply.
This is Pastor Lutzer, and yes, you'd better believe there are some people who can hate that deeply. The problem, of course, with hate is that it actually affects us, but it doesn't affect the person whom we hate. We are always the losers when we speak about the matter of hate. Now, I'm going to ask you today, give it up. One day a woman came to me with about 4 or 5 boxes of materials to try to prove that the hospital was responsible for the death of her mother. For 7 years, she was trying to find somebody who would take her side in the case and who would try to argue the case and try to settle the score. Finally, I said to her, lady, just lay it down. You've tried. God knows the truth. Yes, life is precious. The hospital might have done wrong. The doctors probably are to be blamed. But there comes a time when you commit the matter to God and say, let him even the score. My friend today, my bitter friend, you do that.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. You've just heard Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part 2 of The Value of Life, a look at the 5th of the 10 Commandments. Erwin Lutzer says the God of Sinai is also the God of Calvary. God has not changed his mind about the nature of sin. Holiness is still required. He's written a new book called Why Holiness Matters, The 10 Commandments, Jesus, and You. A copy is waiting as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Or write to us at the Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.